Well, yes, I think you can now. Shall I just start this last piece again? All right. Can you all hear me now? Okay. The G7 Financial Action Task Force, as I say, is a task force set up by the seven richest nations in the world to look into the impact of money laundering on the world economy, came up with this statistic that into the banking system of the United States and Europe. Is it too loud? All right. Okay, Yana? Into this banking system, every minute of every day of every year, there comes $232,115 dirty dollars every minute. And in case your arithmetic is a little rusty, this is $85 billion US dollars a year. New money into the banking system. This does not include what does not come into the banking system, because it finds other means of traveling into the economy. It travels by unofficial banking systems, money changers around the world. It is invested in works of art, in gold, diamonds, and so on. We think possibly 120 to 130 billion US dollars a year becomes available, mostly as a result of drug dealing, partly also as a result of organized criminal activity. Now, this money has to find a home. It has to go somewhere. Money laundering is the heading we give to the process by which this dirty money enters the economies of all the countries of the world. Obviously, the drug trafficker would like to see his money going into a bank. Banks are nice, safe places. They pay you interest, and you can do things with banks. It's no good for a drug trafficker to have the money under the bed. The bed would be too high to sleep on. Now, you understand that when you privatize your industry next year, when you privatize your banking system next year, you will become a popular resort for every crook in the Western world. You have opportunity and they have money, and they would like to make a marriage between the two. If you say, we have other things to worry about, Mr. Raphael, you can't expect us to do everything. Rome was not built in a day. Fine. But as long as you realize that by the time you get around to dealing with this problem, it will be too late. You have dirty money here already. Everybody has. We don't know. One of the problems is we don't know where it is, because it's already been through the cleansing process. It will come into your system as joint venture money. Because what we have had to learn in the West in the last decade is that people handling dirty money do not wear special hats. They don't have special moustaches. They don't carry suitcases with the words narco bucks on the side. They look like any other businessman. They are bankers, they are financiers, they are lawyers who are working this. And of course, much of the money which has been in circulation for the last 10 years has become clean money. It is now invested in legitimate businesses. It is now established in the legitimate banking system. Now, this is a problem for you because the rest of the world is not going to have much faith in your economy or investing in your economy if they believe that you are undermining a number of common and important objectives, particularly the United States of America. In the United States of America, the preoccupation after the Second World War was communism. That was the threat. The whole of their political thinking was devoted to the threat from the East. The threat from the East has now disappeared, and it has now been replaced in the American mind by the threat from drugs. They are worried about drugs taking, drug trafficking, undermining their society, and they perceive, and it is a perception which is shared by all the other nations of the developed world, that you can only control drug trafficking if you can do something to make it unprofitable. And the only way you can make it unprofitable is by introducing money laundering laws. What can you do in the near future? Well, you can see where your capital is coming from. You can try and make sure that the people who come here as joint venturers are as respectable as they can be. When you privatize your banking system, you can make sure that the people who are allowed to run banks here or to have shares in banks here are people who would be approved by the other central banks of the developed countries, approved by the Federal Bank, Federal Reserve Bank in the United States, or approved by the Bank of England in London, and so on. And if you do nothing to control the situation, not only will you have a lot of part of your economy owned by organized crime from outside, or eventually it will be, of course, indigenous, but initially it will be foreign organized crime, but you will find yourself at odds with the rest, all your trading partners in the rest of the developed world, because the United States and Western Europe has now begun to get together on an international level to try and control this problem in a very major and determined way. If you look at the developments just of the last 2 years, we have a new United Nations Convention on Narcotics and Psychotropic Substances in 1988, which more than 100 countries have signed. And it's already become part of the law of the United Kingdom. In 1990, it became part of the municipal law of the United Kingdom. And that outlaws any activity which conceals the proceeds of drug trafficking. In Europe, it will be obligatory in the years to come for countries to have money laundering laws. Many countries already have these laws. Other countries are contemplating them. The United Kingdom has had a money laundering law since the 1st of January 1987. These laws establish a mechanism. There are at the moment two mechanisms in the world. There is the American mechanism, which makes it obligatory to report cash transactions which are of $10,000 or more. That is to stop cash coming off the streets into the legitimate banking system. In England, we did not choose that particular route. In England, we chose to place an obligation on financial institutions, and indeed on anyone, but it falls most heavily on financial institutions, an obligation to report suspicious transactions. We even made this an exception to the bank secrecy laws. We provided immunity. A customer cannot sue the bank for this breach of confidence. And you cannot be prosecuted. The bank is immune. The bank is immune from prosecution, provided it makes the report. Now, this is a suspicion report. The EC is going to go along with this kind of framework. We have provided for the confiscation of the proceeds of drug trafficking. Anybody convicted of drug trafficking has the proceeds of the drug trafficking confiscated. And the onus of proof that it is not the proceeds of drug trafficking is on the convicted drug trafficker. So all his property is liable to be confiscated. We now have joined into treaties to enforce the confiscation orders of other countries, particularly the United States of America. And we will have many other, we now have 11 other bilateral treaties where we will enforce confiscation orders made by other countries, and they will enforce our orders. So we do not have a perfectly integrated, well-running system at the moment, but you can see that there is a tremendous impetus to tackle this problem throughout the world. And the problem is not restricted to drugs. You have a lot of money from organized crime. In England, we have a special problem, which is with terrorism, mainly from Ireland, of course. And so we have special laws now to outlaw the laundering of terrorist money. I must tell you how seriously we regard this, and many of you are police officers and prosecutors. The penalty for laundering money in the United Kingdom is 14 years imprisonment. So it is one of the most serious crimes that we have put onto the statute book in the last few years. And people are convicted of it now. And banks do make these reports. Since the 1st of January 1987, banks in England have made 4,000 reports of suspicious cases. And these reports have been followed up, and many of them have led to successful prosecutions. Not only is the bank immune from prosecution or an action for breach of confidence, but it is not allowed to tell its customer that it has made a report. The police have also been given special powers to go to a court and get an order from a judge to a bank for the bank to produce bank accounts where the police suspect there has been drug money in the account. And the bank must produce the documents immediately. And this has also been used as a very important tool. And of course, you will know, as policemen and prosecutors, that crime doesn't come in neat little packages. You don't have, you know, our experience in the West has been, as Brock said this morning, sometimes they stand on the street with guns and they collect the wages on Thursday afternoons from the security vans. Sometimes they hold up banks. Now, standing on the street with a shotgun on a Thursday afternoon is dangerous. If the weather is bad, you can catch a cold. So they have to find nicer ways of getting money. Holding up banks, that's dangerous as well. It's not very nice. You sometimes have to shoot people, which is very unpleasant. And so they have now, these people, they've become more educated. It's a great credit to our educational system that we have taught all our robbers to read and write. And now they can commit white-collar crime like everybody else. And so now they are dealing in drugs, they are money laundering drugs, and they convert this money into other frauds. For example, they take the money they have earned from drug trafficking and which they have turned into clean money, and they set up frauds with this. They don't set up legitimate businesses because then maybe they think the money is too small and they want to build it up more. So then they start using the money as an investment in a new fraud. For example, in tax frauds, We have a wonderful tax in England and in the common market called value-added tax. In German it's called Mehrwertsteuer. It is peculiar to the common market. And it is a wonderful tax for the fraudsman, because if you regulate your business in a certain way, instead of you paying the state money, the state pays you money. And this was too good an opportunity for the average crook. And so now they use the drug money and they invest it in Mehrwertsteuerbetrug, in value-added tax fraud. And then when they have enough money from this, of course they invest it in legitimate businesses. They buy apartment houses, they buy office blocks, or they buy other clean businesses. And then they become honest businessmen. And they, no one will ever know. I mean, we know this is the way organized crime progressed in the United States in the last half century. But the world has been very slow to erect barriers to deal with this problem. And all I say to you is this: I wish you well. I hope you prosper as a nation. You deserve to. And I hope things go very well for you. But please, when you have finished dealing with your immediate priorities, which is to consolidate your democratic revolution, bear in mind that for every one honest person like me who wishes you well, there are 100 criminals out there who have different sentiments. Thank you very much.